Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, text number 7. Mugasya bale kaishore, kridito yati vimshati, jaraya grashta dehasya, yadya kapasya vimshati. Mugdasya, of a person bewildered or not in perfect knowledge. Bale, in childhood. Kaishore, in boyhood. Kridataha, playing. Yati, passes. Vimshati, 20 years. Jarya, by invalidity. Grasta dehasya, of a person overcome. Yati, passes. Alkalpasya, without determination. Without being unable to execute even material activities. Vimshati, another 20 years. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Still, in old age, when one is invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. Purport. Without Krishna consciousness, one wastes 20 years in childhood and boyhood, and another 20 years in old age. When one cannot perform any material activities, and is full of anxiety about what is to be done by his sons and grandsons, and how one's estate should be protected. Half of these years are spent in sleep. That is, of the 40 years, half are spent in sleep. Furthermore, one wastes another 30 years sleeping at night during the rest of his life. So, we're going to be very careful to watch everyone's awake during this class. At least during one class when we talk about sleeping. Thus, 70 out of 100 years are wasted by a person who does not know the aim of life, how to utilize this human form. So, first 20 years are past wasting. They waste the first 20. Waste the last 20, that's 40. And then there's 60 left, and half of those you're sleeping. So that's another 30 years. So 40 plus 30 is 70. At least 30 years left, but we're not done yet. Text 8. Dura parena kamena mohena cha baliyasa shesham griheshu saktasya pramatasya payatihi. One whose mind and senses are uncontrolled becomes increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires and very strong illusions. So now we're really talking about, normally we're talking about the 60 years in between your first 20 years and your last 20 years. Because nowadays people start early. So lusty desires usually start around 13 nowadays, 12, 11, whatever. And very strong illusion. In such madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted because even though during those years he cannot engage himself in devotional service. So we're talking about the middle 60 years if you live that long. Purport, this is the account of 100 years. Although in this age a lifetime of 100 years is generally not possible, even if one has 100 years, the calculation is that 50 years are wasted in sleeping. 20 years in childhood and boyhood, and 20 years in invalidity. So that this leaves only a few more years. But because of some too much attachment to household life, these years are also spent with no purpose, without God consciousness. Therefore, one should be trained to be a perfect brahmachari in the beginning of life, and then to be perfect in sense control, following the regular principles. One becomes a householder. From the household life, one is ordered to accept vanaprastha life and go to the forest and then accept sannyas. That is perfection of life. From the very beginning of life, those who are atendriya, who cannot control their senses, are educated only for sense gratification, as we have seen in the Western countries. Thus, the entire duration of life of even 100 years is wasted and misused. And at the time of death, one transmigrates to another body, which may not be human. At the end of 100 years, one who has not acted as a human being in a life of tapasya, austerity, and penance must certainly be embodied again in a body like that of cats, dogs, and hogs. Therefore, this life of lusty desires and sense gratification is extremely risky. So this is not a feel-good class. But if we become Krishna conscious, that's the only way we'll actually feel good. And if we want to live in illusion, it doesn't feel so good. In this regard, there's a story of one boatman working in Bengal, and he had one scholar. He asked the boatman to take him across the river. And while they're rowing across the river, the scholar turned to the boatman and said, "My dear boatman, look in the sky. Do you see all those stars? Do you know the science of astronomy?" And the boatman said, "No, I never learned the science of astronomy. So the scholar said to the boatman, "Then 20% of your life is lost." And they were rowing. The scholar was looking at the ocean. He said, My dear boatman, do you know all the different fish that live in the ocean?" So the boatman said, "No." He said, "Well, then 50% of your life is lost." And he's rowing, and he was seeing the clouds in the sky that were forming. He said, "Do you know what those are? What kind of clouds they are?" He said, "No." He said, "Then when 70% of your life is wasted." And then a storm of the clouds formed into big rain clouds, and it began to pour, and the boat began filling up with water. And the boatman turned to the scholar and said, "Do you know how to swim? I think we're going under." He said, and the scholar said, "No." He said, "Well, 100% of your life is wasted." So this is material. This is a good lecture for materialistic people, that they're thinking they're spending their life very gainfully. They're gaining pieces of paper or whatever else they gain, their house, their family, their reputation, whatever they're trying to maintain, as Maharaj Rishabhdev says. Matira na krishne parataksatova mito bipadyeta griha ratanam adantago virvishitam tamizram punak punas charvita charvananam. So matira means our consciousness. The aim of life is to put our consciousness upon Krishna. As we were explaining yesterday, following religious principles is not an end in itself, although it's a good start. And it's something even to convince people to follow religious principles nowadays is very, very difficult. If you tell people there's four regular principles, then they become very discouraged. So generally we don't introduce that. Prabhupada, for instance, we have these on this wall here. Luckily no one can read it. You see that wall there? With those. So Prabhupada put down the four regular principles. And plus other principles, like you're not supposed to play frivolous sports and things like that. He put that after the first initiation. If he would have put it before the first initiation, we wouldn't have a movement. Especially considering the candidates at that time. Some of them, the first initiation, they just wandered in off the street. And they sat down, they said, what's going on? Oh, we're having initiation, would you like to be initiated? Sure, why not? So they got initiated. And then afterwards, they didn't stay around long enough to find out what the four of the principles were, though. So, the human form of life is meant to begin by following the regular principles of life. Krishna calls them the regular principles of freedom, which are a general category, probably didn't say that. These are the only that don't eat meat, fish, and eggs. We can have lobster and or whatever, some shrimp, because it's not really fish and it's not. No, there are general principles that we don't eat flesh. We don't take any kind of intoxication. Sometimes probably added in, even coffee or tea. And in the Indian audience, you go, you'd hear them go like that. In the West, they're addicted to heroin, and in India, they're addicted to tea. Well, maybe heroin nowadays too, who knows? These are general principles that controlling lust, anger, and greed, especially so that we can avoid illusion. As soon as if we eat too much prasadam, we'll also become intoxicated. You eat too much halava, then you'll start talking incoherently, as if you were intoxicated. Hopefully you're going to talk about Krishna. Even Balaram, sometimes we become intoxicated with Varuni. And he'd talk incoherently. But as it said in the Nectar Devotion, he lay down to sleep. That if you're a gentleman and you get intoxicated, then you go to sleep. And if you're a rascal and you're intoxicated, then you sing and cry. So Balaram was at least a gentleman. He laid down to sleep. But that's not the end of it. For the controlling the senses is explained here for brahmachari life, because brahmachari life is meant to actually, if one learns kamara acharat pragya from the beginning of life, matri vat paradareshu, then at the end of life, then during life, one will not look at every woman lustfully. If one approaches the door of a house is a brahmachari begging for his spirit on behalf of his spiritual master, and he addresses every woman as mata, mata, then he'll get used to that. And if you're 5 years old, you're playing video games, as I heard, and then pornography appears on the screen, then you wonder, is this my mom? It's not exactly the right training for 5 years old. Although, for instance, in Sweden, they, even at 5 years old, they have little children, they go into a room, the girls and the boys, and they have show and tell. So this is not exactly training them to become brahmacharis. But without becoming a brahmachari, there's no question of controlling the senses, because sense desire, what to speak of eating, which is supposed to be the most uncontrolled, but sleeping, mating, and fear are pretty much up there also. And especially in Kali Yuga, there's a very heavy emphasis upon fearing and sex life. So brahmachari life is meant to learn how to become tolerant of those urges, and have, by developing proper etiquette, proper culture, proper discipline, etc., and proper understanding. That this lady is my mother. My aim of life is not to cheat people out of their belongings so I can get everything that they have and feel superior. It's meant to feel that everyone is part of the same family, spiritual family. Then one can advance towards pious life. Pious life means you do your duty. If you can't control your senses, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, you can't do your duty. Of course, people don't know what their duty is because their only duty is nowadays to eat and sleep. And if they have enough energy, then they try to mate and defend. But that's pretty rare now also. People have lost so much energy. They can't even mate and defend. They just can watch people mating and defending. But duty in the Varnashram was to Yajnavai Vishnu. Everyone is meant to sacrifice for Vishnu. Otherwise, one becomes bound, Krishna says, to the material energy, which is how the material nature works. If we don't sacrifice for Vishnu, then we'll be covered by lust, anger, and greed. We'll be bewildered, and we'll do all things which are madness. Punak punas charavita charavananam. Just incessantly eating, sleeping, mating, defending, trying to find out a new way of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Something would be a little more interesting. Because we're tired of the last TV dinner, now we want a new TV dinner. But if one can actually act piously, which means either in Varnashram or in pure devotional service, then one can advance to the platform of tolerance. So this follows Varnashram also, because beginning is brahmachari life, to learn the basic principles of religion, then one can enter into household life and try to act piously. Therefore, in household life, is this the emphasis upon ritualistic activities for sacrificing for Vishnu, where Vishnu is in the center. And then one can graduate then tapasya, as explained here. So that means tolerance. Or as it says, abhayam satva samshudir jnana yoga vyavyastiti danam dhamma sajagnascha svarya tapa arjavam. So the beginning is brahmachari life, and that's meant for svadhyaya, self-study, that I'm not this body, I should control my senses, not so much propaganda, just like I was in Dallas. I was actually the temple president of Dallas twice, and I was the temple president of Austin at that time, when they had the big Gurukul there. And the children used to offer wax paper. Wax paper. What's that? Well, yeah, because there were no plates. That's why they ate off of wax paper. It's better than eating off your hand, especially when you pour the hot dal in it. Yeah, they had like 120 children in a place that was probably adequate for like 15. And they didn't really get very much finances to take care of everything. So they used to go up and we used to put wax paper on the floor. And they used to, it was all right for the subject. The rice was all right too. The dal was a little sticky. If you go up there now to the Dallas Temple, the place where you used to take prasadam, it's still sticky. You can smell the floor, it still smells like dal. Wooden floor, by the way. So seeped into the floor. And they used to take cold showers. There were like two showers for 120 children, plus the adults. So it was quite austere. We were criticized. Of course, it was probably too austere. But just the idea of the children being brought up in austerity was abominable to people. There were articles, you know. There was one black man who was a deprogrammer, if you know what a deprogrammer is. You know what a deprogrammer is? Well, we're all programmed. And they deprogram you. They wipe off your program. So they believe that we're all brainwashed. At least they accepted we had a brain. And Prabhupada said, yes, we're all brainwashed. At least our brain has been washed. You don't have a brain. Your brain is made out of a cow stool, cow dung. And the more, even you try to wash your brain, it never gets washed. You may claim that we're brainwashed, but at least we have a brain and it's clean. So they complain, you know, you treat your children, we treat our dog better than you treat your children, he would claim on television during a debate with Rita and Anamara. He said, at least we give our dog a nice bowl to eat off of. Your children are eating off of wax paper. Wax paper. I treat my dog better than you treat your children. So for them, any austerity was out of the question. Children are meant to play video games and kill so many things every day on the video game. They're meant to watch television when they have spare time. I think that probably video games is the main thing. People hardly ever go out. Children, you hardly ever see children out in the street. It's probably because their parents told them to stay home, so then they ran outside. Otherwise, they're always, you know, even the little children, you see them and they have this, they're playing on these little gadgets. And it's not exactly, you know, they're playing Krishna and Ram. So if they're a beginning of life, when it's supposed to be spent in learning sense control, brahmacharya life, and then grihastha life is dhanam, dhammas, and yajna, sacrifice for Vishnu. But people don't believe in Vishnu, so why will they sacrifice? Therefore, there won't be any sense control. Whatever they learn in brahmacharya life, if they learn sense control at all, they just throw it off out the window, because they think sacrifice means to fill my empty stomach, and if I can fill the empty stomach, my children and wife, my life is successful. I'm a good person. Balian, they say. Superman. And dana, to give in charity. Yes, they give in charity, but they don't know what the result of their charity will be. In America, there are still bums on the street. They used to come up with a rag. You go by Greenwich Village or something, the Lower East Side, there was something called the Bowery. And there were all kinds of people living there, homeless people living there. And in order to get some money for their alcohol, they come up with a dirty rag and they wipe it on your window, on the window shield. And then they ask you for some money for making your window dirty. And of course, if you didn't pay, they'd just let you go. But some people just paid out of compassion. Nowadays, if you don't pay, they break your window. They're a little more aggressive nowadays. They have they have one hand that wiping your dirtying your window stick, and the other one they have a club in their hand. Either hit you or hit your window with it. You don't pay. So charity is meant for being given to the Brahmins and sannyasis for engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness. Then, after practicing in household life, regulated sense gratification, and charity and sacrifice, then one can learn tolerance. Then one gets tired. One sees that the maximum amount of happiness, if one follows nicely household life and has a loving relationship with the children and the wife and the husband, they have a loving relation with Krishna consciousness, and they enjoy nice sense gratification, regulated eating and sleeping and mating and defending. If they regulate it, then they say, oh, it's very nice, but there must be something more. So then they try to fix their mind even more upon Krishna. So they're willing to go through austerity because they think, well, we've enjoyed happiness from material life, but let's get something more, some more happiness. So they take vanaprastha, the wife and the husband, and they actually try to concentrate even more upon Krishna because they've already realized happiness in Krishna consciousness in household life. And they realized they had the best kind of sense gratification, and they realized that between the sense gratification we had, which was very nice, and the even superior happiness of Krishna consciousness, then I'd rather concentrate my mind even more upon Krishna consciousness now and get even more happiness. But if one doesn't have a nice household life, that one is always thinking, maybe I got the wrong husband or wife, then I could have really enjoyed. I just made a mistake. I chose my sub-soulmate rather than my real soulmate. And therefore one will not be able to concentrate one's mind upon Krishna, because one will always thinking, maybe she's the one, or maybe he's the one, or it's the one, or whatever. It's moving. Or even now it's dead. So what? Everything's beautiful. But if one can learn tolerance and actually concentrate the mind upon Krishna and not get disturbed by one's material circumstances, then one can actually come to the next stage, which is accept pure devotional service. Actually accept devotional service without hankering and lamentation and mental speculations, trying to figure out who's my friend and who's my enemy. Then one can accept pure devotional service and rise, and when pure devotional service concentrating the mind upon the holy name and Krishna, then one can actually feel Krishna's presence and understand the happiness and the pleasure and the loving relationships that are going on in the spiritual world. Then one can actually understand Krishna and Krishna's devotees, what they're doing. One can experience it for oneself. Then one falls in love with Krishna, and then one becomes a pure devotee. He becomes fearless, he becomes fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and he understands everything perfectly. So that's Abhayam Sattva Samshudira Jnana Yoga Vyavyastita. So Varnashram is meant to bring us to that platform of meditating in trance upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if people are not even engaged in sense and mind control, they don't engage in pious activities, what to speak of devotional service, if they don't learn tolerance, if they don't learn what pure devotional service is, if they're not understanding and experiencing Krishna consciousness, and if they're not learning how to come to meditate upon Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and fall in love with Him, then to some extent or another, they're wasting their time. Some people nowadays, they're completely wasting their time. 100% of their lives are wasted. But we're supposed to be merciful, and we're supposed to at least let them spend a little time chant Hare Krishna, even for a moment, or hear about Krishna, or get a book, or take some prasadam, so that only 99% of their life is wasted, but one percent of their life with some meaning, and therefore they may get some other opportunity to come back and in a human form of life and make a little other percentage of their life meaningful. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be merciful to people. We're supposed to understand what the goal of life is and how to achieve it, and engage people somehow or another in doing something valuable with this human form of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Maharaj, you've mentioned that people proceed from experiencing happy family life, I mean in Krishna consciousness, from searching even more happiness, which they conclude comes from spiritual part of their family relationship and associations, and we see that not everybody is so happy in family life. Even devotees have problems. And what about them? And you've said that if you are not happy, then you have a problem, because you will want to be happy and search for somebody and lose your valuable time for useless search for another partner, or speculate about how to be happy in family life. How to get rid of that tendency when you see that it doesn't work and proceed towards vanaprastha? What is the solution?
Well, there may be many solutions. There are many possibilities. If everything was black and white, it would be very simple. But generally speaking, if you don't have a good, happy family life, then concentrate more on Krishna consciousness. But at least we can see when there was the man was normal, was sane and the woman was sane, and they had a few sane children, then they understood that men are from Mars and women are from Venus or something like that, and that sometimes they may not get along perfectly well. It's very rare you have if you do have a perfect relationship, it might be difficult for you to give it up. Everyone, Prabhupada, he got a wife, he didn't like her very much. And he wanted to get a second wife. His father said, no, it's very good. You don't like your wife, you won't be so attached to her. Then you'll be able to take sannyasa eventually. So it's, if you have a nice wife, it's good. If you don't have such a nice wife, it's also not so bad. If you engage your valuable time in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, 100%, it's all bad. If you have a nice wife, you fall in love with her and she falls in love with you, it's really bad. For you especially. And if you have not necessarily a nice wife, you don't engage in Krishna consciousness, it's really bad also, because you'll just spend the rest of your life hating your wife or finding another one and then getting all the karmic reaction for giving up your wife and your children. So you're unfortunate. So the conclusion is, if they have a nice wife and they both engage in Krishna service, or you engage in Krishna service, that's very good, because you'll get happiness from a nice relationship. And you'll see that if you concentrate your mind upon Krishna, the happiness in pure devotional service is superior to any kind of happiness in material life. It's one of the qualities of sadhana bhakti. It gives one superior happiness. So one can give up material life not out of disgust, but out of experiencing a higher experience. And then one will, the husband and wife, hopefully, when they had, that's the ideal, but it may not be ideal. In any case, one should try to concentrate the mind upon Krishna, like Prabhupada did. His wife, he didn't get along with her, and he tolerated, tried to work for his wife and family, up to a point when he became over 50 years old, when he was supposed to take vanaprastha, and then he gave her an alternative, tea or me. And she chose the tea. So we got him. Is that right? Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.